You're listening to Nick Espinoza here on the Deep Dive Radio Show on Huntley Community Radio, WHRULP, on 101.5 FM. June of 2018, Facebook offered the world a free VPN. That's a virtual private network. You'd install it into your phone or your laptop. And basically what it does is it encrypts the data as it leaves, let's say, your phone to the internet. So Facebook offered this for free for security and privacy called Onavo, but literally it did anything but that. Facebook admitted to Congress in a hearing that they were using Onavo, the VPN, to secretly track where their users were going and where they did outside of Facebook's ecosystem. So if you are using Onavo on your phone and you open up another app that is not Facebook, or you go to a website that is not Facebook, Facebook now knew everything that you were doing. So basically, while Zuckerberg was apologizing for violating the privacy of pretty much everyone and lying about taking their privacy seriously, they were actually releasing apps that turned the data mining and tracking up to 11. That is ridiculous. It got so bad with this that Apple actually pulled Onavo from the App Store because it was violating users' data privacy so dramatically. That's insane, and we are nowhere near done. June of 18, according to Politico, we learned that Facebook shared personal user data with multiple device makers, including device makers based in China with ties to the Chinese government. Now, because of this, Congressman David Cicilline, a Democrat from Rhode Island, said, and I quote, "Sure looks like Zuckerberg lied to Congress about whether users have complete control over who sees our data on Facebook, and this needs to be investigated and the people responsible need to be held accountable," end quote. That person is Mark Zuckerberg, and I'm going to be getting to quotes that literally show you that he has basically been lying for most of this time. And Congressman Cicilline, if you are listening, please hold them accountable. I am more than happy to give you all of my notes, links, sources, and everything. Moving on, July 2018, The New Republic publishes an article called, and I quote, "Facebook is still abusing your privacy." Now, this article dives into the fact that beyond all the privacy violations I have literally mentioned thus far, Facebook had found another way to make money by violating users' privacy: facial recognition. The New York Times reported that, quote, "more than a dozen privacy and consumer groups and at least a few officials argue that the company's use of facial recognition has violated people's privacies by not obtaining the appropriate user consent." Now, what they're talking about is Facebook is running the largest facial recognition database in the world, or one of the largest, if it is not the largest. It is up there. And you didn't have a choice when this started. If you posted a picture of yourself, oh, this is me and my family on vacation, all of you, your kids, you, your wife, your husband, you, whoever, got basically put into their facial recognition database. You did not opt into this. They just did it for you. And eventually, when caught, they had to backtrack. And then they integrated facial recognition technology into their home device. So their competitor to the Amazon Echo or the Google Home is the Facebook portal. And they literally paired that with facial recognition technology and a camera in that, so that basically could scan everything, scan your face, see what you were doing, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's absolutely nuts. And we are still in July of 2018. Because also in July of 2018, we learned that Facebook was under investigation from four different federal agencies, including the FTC, the SEC, that's the Securities and Exchange Commission, and the Department of Justice, or DOJ. So the U.S. government is now finally taking an active role, and we learned this in July of 2018. In December of 2018, and again, nowhere near done, we learned that other major tech companies had such deep access to Facebook that they could read your private messages. Wall Street Journal. We are talking about companies like Netflix, Spotify, Amazon, and others that basically were paying for the privilege to get in so deeply into your Facebook account that they could actually read private messages in Facebook Messenger that you were sending to your friends or whoever. That is absolutely insane. January of 2019, we learned that Facebook had a research app users could download and would pay them to allow Facebook to deeply data mine their phones for all aspects of what they were doing. Now, I have no issues with a research app that, let's say, an adult willingly says, okay, I'm for $25 to $30 a month, which was the going rate, I will install this app into my phone and I will let Facebook data mine me to the nth degree. You're an adult, do whatever you want. I have no issues with this. The problem is Facebook was entering into contractual monetary agreements with minors ages 13 to 17, because 18, obviously, you can consent, and they didn't need parents' permission. So if you've got a 13-year-old in your house that has access to a phone, they could have downloaded this, and for $25, $30 a month, they could have literally given absolutely everything they were doing to Facebook, and at 13, probably not realizing this meant data mining, text messages, apps, games, absolutely everything. As a parent, that is unconscionable to me. I would not want my children, you know, if they were that age, to basically sign up for something without my consent. That is crazy. And Facebook was doing it, and we are not anywhere near done. February 2019, according to CNBC. We learned that if Facebook considers you a threat, and I'm wondering if I'm making that list with the video I just did and you listening to me here, which, you know, is obviously going to be public very soon, you know, in terms of beyond the radio on SoundCloud, and which will be shared into all my social media and all of that. If they consider you a threat, they can and will turn on tracking in your Facebook app and your phone to keep tabs on where you are. You have no notification of this, and the rules for getting on this list are arbitrary, although some reasons like threatening violence against Facebook are obviously, you know, obvious. And so basically, let's say I came out and said, I want to like drive to Facebook's headquarters and shoot everybody or something like that. That would obviously send a massive alert to Facebook, but they would take it one step further without getting any kind of consent, any kind of warrant, any kind of anything, and just basically turn on the tracking. And so they could see where I am whenever they wanted to in terms of their own private safety. That is a very serious, I think, Fourth Amendment violation. And while some people are clearly deranged and would drive, you know, to Facebook with a gun, maybe the person's joking. Who knows? Maybe I am now making this list and they're just going to fire it up and figure out where I am at all times because they consider me a threat for going after them in this way, as I'm laying this all out. I don't know. There's no actual rules, and I kind of feel like they need a lawsuit just on that. Moving on, March 21st of this year, Facebook stored passwords for hundreds of millions and tens of thousands of Instagram users in plain text and had been doing it for years. So much for privacy. And we are going to get back to this one, but if you're not familiar with plain text, here's how this works. If I punch in a password to a website, I expect them to do what is called hash the password. So in other words, if my password is password, and it wouldn't be, but if it was, you don't actually see the word password. If you're looking through the database on the back end as an administrator, you see a long string of text that basically scrambles the password to ensure that it is private from anybody, let's say in Facebook, from viewing it. They were storing it in plain text, meaning if my password was password, they could read it. And over 20,000 Facebook employees had access to this. Now, think about this. If you're using your email address and password that you're using for Facebook at your bank or other locations or other websites, 20,000 Facebook employees would have seen that. They can see that username and password. That is insane. That is zero, literally zero security and privacy control whatsoever. And that is completely unconscionable to me. And we are nowhere near done once again. April 3rd of this year, Facebook came out with an account verification system that was asking for your email password, not your Facebook password, your email password, which could potentially give Facebook access to your email account. And that is exactly what happened. And so basically we are going to be talking about that in a little bit, but people were giving them email access. So in other words, if you had a Gmail account or a Yahoo account, you were turning over that password to Facebook if they prompted you for that to verify your account, which gave them access to your Gmail or Yahoo account. That's insane. That is absolutely nuts. And we'll get back to that. April 3rd as well, and this is literally another story, UpGuard, that is a cybersecurity research firm, they found hundreds of millions of users' personal information being stored on Amazon web servers by third parties. In one case, they could easily access personal information in a single database of over 500 million Facebook users. And here's why. Facebook never bothered to control their third parties. If you remember the quote from years ago earlier in this deep dive, where basically whistleblowers came out and talked to the Wall Street Journal saying, well, we don't know, like Facebook can't track how many third parties they have in here because it's just so huge. What happens is these third parties are literally just taking your personal data, taking your passwords, taking your information and storing it in their own databases. And a lot of them are using Amazon Web Services as databases to store this. And then they're exposing it because they don't have good security. And hundreds of millions of us have now been exposed by third-party developers that Facebook let remove the data. That is absolutely unreal. And we'll keep on rolling. April 17th, NBC News, they drop a bombshell that thousands of internal documents, memos, etc., show that Facebook was using users' private data as leverage against its competitors. In other words, it would give deep access to friends and companies that paid top dollar, like Amazon, or cut off access to private to competition, like other messaging apps. This is actually what prompted me to do this, in the sense that while they claim user privacy, they're sitting here just taking it and using it as a bargaining chip for their allies and a bargaining chip against their competitors. That's nuts. April 19th. Now, do you remember that I said back in March 21st, they were being stored in plain text? They had hundreds of millions of Facebook users and tens of thousands of Instagram users. It was actually tens of millions of Instagram users. And instead of alerting the world to this, they went retroactively back to that March 21st blog post and just changed the wording from thousands to millions on Instagram, hoping nobody would notice. Well, we did. And so they tried to downplay that because Instagram is their hot app right now, because Facebook has been losing members. So that is literally nuts. They were caught by Forbes doing this and called to task on that. But they literally are trying to lie their pants through this. And finally, we learned that the account verification system I mentioned earlier that wanted your email password actually did to get into your email. Users were reporting that they were seeing Facebook import their entire address book without any prompts, consents, or opts-in. So seriously, these people just cannot stop data mining, even when there's a massive spotlight on them, for literally this. Now, all of the above is absolutely horrible, but what makes this criminal in terms of the law is that Zuckerberg had repeatedly lied about this. And we are going to go all the way back to the beginning. In 2004, in the early days of Facebook, basically there's a leaked instant message transcript that Zuckerberg later acknowledges was his, with 19-year-old Zuckerberg saying, and I quote, "Yeah, if so you ever need info about anyone at Harvard, just ask. I have over 4,000 emails, pictures, addresses, SNS. Now, his friend responded, name redacted, "What? How did you manage that?" Zuckerberg said, "People just submitted it. I don't know why. They trust me, dumb Fs." And I will let you figure out what Fs means. So we say stupid things at 19, but I think this speaks to his mentality right from the start of Facebook. And like I said, Zuckerberg eventually admitted that he did say this. March 10th, 2008, in an interview, and I quote Zuckerberg again, "Privacy, that's the vector around which Facebook operates. We know that is a lie because of everything I just told you." April 2010, Nick Bilton of New York Times' Bits blog had an off-the-record conversation with a Facebook employee that was later published by another source. Bilton asked the employee, and I quote, "How does Zuck feel about privacy?" To which the employee responded with laughter and said, and I quote, "He doesn't believe in it." That could be a witness that's subpoenaed. 2010, NPR interview. There's, and I quote, "Zuckerberg, there's this false rumor that's been going around, which that we're sharing private information with applications, and it's just not true." That is obviously false over and over and over. We just proved it through excellent reporting. November 2011, in a Facebook post by Zuckerberg, and I quote, "This means we're making a clear and formal long-term commitment to do the things we've always tried to do and plan to keep doing, giving you tools to control who can see your information and then making sure only those people you intend can see it. As a matter of fact, privacy is so deeply embedded in all of the development we do that every day tens of thousands of servers worth of computational resources are consumed checking to make sure that on any web page we serve that you have access to see each of the sometimes hundreds or even thousands of individual pieces of information that come together to form a Facebook page." Basically, in 2011, he's saying we have information and privacy controls, and they clearly don't. A shareholder letter in their IPO filing, and I quote Zuckerberg, "We hope to rewire the way people spread and consume information. We think the world's information infrastructure should resemble the social media, the social graph, a network built from the bottom up or peer-to-peer rather than the monolithic top-down structure that has existed to date. We also believe that giving people control over what they share is a fundamental principle of this rewiring. We know that is false thanks to Cambridge Analytica and a slew of others." on an earnings conference call in July 2014, and I quote Zuckerberg again, "I think something that's misunderstood about Facebook, one of the things that we focused on the most is creating private spaces for people to share things and have interactions that they couldn't have had elsewhere." Again, we know that's basically patently false. In 2018, a congressional hearing on Facebook and Cambridge Analytica, this is what Facebook said. This is what Mark Zuckerberg said. "I started Facebook, I run it, and I'm responsible for what happens here." This is his statement of ownership. The buck stops with him, which means he's publicly saying he's liable for the good and bad that Facebook does. And as we can see, there are plenty of things to be seriously concerned about. Now, Facebook obviously has a history of simply doing what they want without permission from the people that they're doing it to, from advertising to data mining to allowing enough information on a person to be scraped to building a psychographic profile on them to tracking everything you do while claiming to give you enhanced security to putting everyone into the world's largest facial recognition database to storing passwords in plain text that 20,000 employees could read when trying to cover up everything by changing totals after the fact, it is honestly time to put Mark Zuckerberg on trial for criminal activity. And beyond a slap on the wrist fine, if we're actually going to change these platforms, we need to make an example of the world's worst abusers of this data privacy. And that is your deep dive of the week. You're listening to Nick Espinoza here on the Deep Dive Radio Show on Huntley Community Radio, WHRULP, on 101.5 FM. And this week's deep dive is about basically America being under attack. And if we actually are, because I think there's a lot of compelling evidence to say that somebody is hitting us and probing us in a way that we're not necessarily picking up on, or it's not really being made public and it's not being talked about in the news, but we have had a lot of disparate outages and kind of not data breaches, but basically loss of connection, loss of connectivity from some major providers and platforms. And I think that it seems like we're ramping this up. And so let me lay out the evidence for you here. And I think you guys are going to find this interesting. And so basically last week, from when I'm recording this, this would be the week of March 11th, 2019, we had a series of major outages by some huge providers that either provide infrastructure and connectivity or communication platforms for us that millions, if not hundreds of millions of Americans use. And so on Tuesday, Verizon had a serious outage that basically stopped all text messages from sending and receiving. They were able to fix that the same day, but that literally went out due to a glitch. At least that's what they're claiming. Like, this is an issue here. Now, Tuesday evening, Google entities Gmail and YouTube had an outage as well. So now, on the heels of Verizon going out under a quote-unquote glitch, now Gmail and YouTube, which are literally used by hundreds of millions of people, in North America, not to mention billions in the world, just went out, and Google was able to fix it, bring it back online, whatever they had to do. Now, Wednesday, Facebook and Instagram went out and had trouble for about 24 hours. Again, another massive platform that is used by hundreds of millions of Americans, billions worldwide on both of those. And between Tuesday and Wednesday, Spectrum, which is one of the largest internet service providers in the United States, had severe outages as well. That takes us into Thursday, and then Apple's iCloud went out. Their contacts, Apple Drive and iMail, all suffered outages. And by Friday, Apple was able to get them, up. Now, taken individually, these companies came out and said, okay, well, came out and said, well, we did not have some kind of denial of service attack. Don't necessarily know if I 100% believe that, but there are other ways to hack in and cause malfeasance. The thing is that these companies have a ton of redundancies. They have a ton of checks, when they're doing software updates so that, you're not knocking out everything if you've got a bad update. They have tons of redundancies. So it's not like, at home, if your Comcast internet line goes out or your AT&T internet line goes out, you're out. They have multiple fiber connections from multiple, organizations, multiple routing. I mean, it's very hard to knock one of these out. And we just saw a week of Verizon, Google, Facebook, Apple, and Spectrum go out. And I think that's more than a coincidence, although I have to, given all available evidence, kind of lean coincidence. But if I'm looking at this week, the week of March 18th as well, at the top 10 outages at the moment, Spectrum still is reporting, Instagram is still reporting, Verizon, Facebook, AT&T, Comcast, YouTube, and Hulu. All of those, plus FanDuel, which I think is a fan gambling site, and Call of Duty, which is a game. Those are the major outages for this week on Down Detector. And if you're looking at that, we're looking at internet provider, major communications platform, internet provider, major communications platform, internet provider, major communications platform, and television platform. And so that is very scary. Now, it's interesting because about a few years ago, in 2016 or so, an article came out that I think was very interesting and laid a lot of stuff out that basically postulates that we know somebody is probing the internet. We know that somebody is probing U.S. infrastructure to see where it's weak. And I'm going to quote from some of this article, but we've basically known since about 2014 or 15 that somebody has been probing the internet in the United States. And I quote, Someone has been probing the defenses of companies that run critical pieces of the internet. These probes take the form of precisely calibrated attacks designed to determine exactly how well these companies can defend themselves and what would be required to take them down. We don't know who is doing this, but it feels like a large nation state. So this could be China, this could be Russia, and all of that. I go on to continue to quote this article, quote, recently, some of the major companies that provide the basic infrastructure that makes the internet work have seen an increase in DDoS, that's directed denial of service attacks, against them. Moreover, they have seen a certain profile of attacks. These attacks are significantly larger than the ones they're used to seeing. They last longer, they're more sophisticated, and they look like probing. One week, the attack would start at a particular level of attack and slowly ramp up before stopping. The next week, it would start at that higher point and continue, and so on. Along those lines, as if the attackers were looking for an exact point of failure. The attacks are also configured in such a way as to see what the company's total defenses are. There are many different ways to launch a DDoS attack. The more attack vectors you employ simultaneously, the more different the defenses the defender has to counter with. These companies are seeing more attacks using three or four different vectors. This means that the companies have to use everything they've got to defend themselves. They can't hold anything back. They're forced to demonstrate their defense capabilities for the attacker. And so in other words, you're getting probed, you're getting basically your network probed, and you're getting attacked from basically a very low level attack, and it continues to ramp up in expertise and capability until you basically are shutting the network down or you're able to get through. And that is essentially, they're identifying the level of what's going on. That's a very scary thing, and that is from literally almost 3 years ago. And we know that this has been going on for about 5 years. But recently, in the last, let's say, 6 months to a year, we have started to see a vast increase, and not just in data breaches and leaks, which, you know, could very well be state-sponsored as well, intellectual property theft, or it could just simply be hackers trying to steal information for money, but these specific critical points that bind us together. So, for example, a lot of internet service providers essentially have a monopoly in their area, especially when it comes to wired connectivity. I have two internet service providers in my area for my home, for example, AT&T and Comcast. And so let's say the majority of my neighborhood is on Comcast, which I believe they are. If Comcast goes out, we can't get to the internet. Like, we literally are just, all the computers in the house, all the TVs, everything can't go out. And if Comcast is being probed and AT&T is being probed, and literally both of those two are on the top 10 outage report list for the week, according to Down Detector, which is one of the websites that a lot of IT and technology professionals use to see what is up and down in their area, that's a serious problem. We also know that we have seen the attacks step up, and I literally did a deep dive on this and wrote an article on it about, can the U.S. government cyber defense survive another government shutdown? When nobody is watching the store, the ramp, you know, the attacks ramped up. And so we had a massive amount of infrastructure attacks against the U.S. government when the government was shut down because nobody's basically watching the barn. And I'm not necessarily talking about the FBI or the NSA or anything like that, but when you've got, let's say, the Department of Housing and Urban Development shut down, or Commerce, or, you know, whatever, that nobody's reporting and nobody is watching to make sure that things are patched and the firewalls are not under attack, then we have things like DNS hijacking. We have attacks happening. And so we know that's happening, and we know that's escalating. And we also know that we've been in a bit of a trade war with China, and we've also started to escalate you know, the rhetoric between basically coming in and saying, hey, we're not going to hack you if you don't hack us, and the Chinese have agreed, but then continue to do that. We've actually had multiple agreements on this, but we've also caught them red-handed. And if we are looking at if we're looking at the number one problem that we have in terms of theft in the United States, theft in the globe, it is intellectual property of U.S. corporations basically being targeted and exfiltrated to data, to China. That is the number one threat that we have right now. That is the number one money-making scheme. When we are looking at the greatest wealth transfer in history, in other words, hackers are stealing over $6 billion from us by 2021, the number one category is U.S. intellectual property being transferred to China. And so you can't say that this stuff isn't happening, because it is. And when we're looking at something like the week of March 11th, where we are literally having just communication platforms go down, you know, disparate to each other. It's not like they're all sharing one server or one data center. They're across a zillion data centers and a zillion internet connections, and they're compartmentalized to ensure that, you know, that if one thing goes down, it's not going to break everything. And here we are, Facebook going out, Google going out, Apple going out, infrastructure like Verizon and Spectrum going out. That's something that we have to consider. And now, it could be coincidence. This is all the evidence that I've just presented to you here. I'll let you make up your own mind on this, but I think it seems kind of obvious that there may be something more at play here, because there's been something at play for years now. And we've seen this, and companies have seen this that are defending themselves. The internet service providers are the ones that are, you know, talking to cybersecurity researchers saying, we are seeing attacks in the scope and depth that we have never seen before. And that's a serious problem. And thank you so much for tuning in this week. It was another fun show, and I think we covered a lot of really good stuff. And I hope you guys enjoyed it as much as I did. It was a really good time, and I hope you keep tuning in. Thank you very much for listening to the Deep Dive Radio Show here with Nick Espinoza. And if you have any comments, suggestions, questions, absolutely anything, once again, you can find me on Facebook and Twitter at Nick AESP. Again, that's Nick AESP. And you can always send an email to questions@securityfanatics.com. Don't be shy. I love the feedback. We've been having a great time with the show. And as always, stay safe and stay online, everyone. Thanks for listening.